Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Milan Jurkovic. I mean, the men are in today, and we want you to join us at 1-800-229-3000. That's the number for a new life. Glad you're with us today.
I'm glad you accepted my call. I listen every day.
Now, can we all be friends if I say something a little bit confronting?
Give it to me straight. I can take it.
Right. It won't be indirect and it won't be flippant. It will be respectful. But I want you to look at this as you have a problem.
I know I'm making excuses.
Love your honesty.
Okay. So you're saying he went from the honeymoon to the honey move?
Yeah, whenever you do that, it's a little quick.
Yeah.
Are you wondering, Elizabeth, if you're trapped?
Rather than try to teach them something, I would listen and I would just kind of point out the inconsistencies, the lack of evidence, and some of the social pressure that's there.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop. Hello, Dave.
How you doing, Steve?
Good. And Milan Jurkovic.
Steve, good to see you.
It's a day of men.
Yeah, it's nice that we're no longer the boys. We're now the men.
Well, we've aged a little bit since it was the boys.
Okay. Hope we've matured.
So who is the most popular person on Facebook? Who has the most fans? Is it Lady Gaga? Justin Bieber? No.
I don't know, but I think you're going to tell us.
I never looked at Facebook, so I don't know.
Yeah. It's like the answer is like the little boy that in Sunday school, and the teacher said, "What's gray and holds a little nut between his hands?"
I think the answer is a squirrel, yeah. But I think you want to hear Jesus.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's squirrel, but anyway, in this case, it actually is Jesus.
Really?
Is the answer. Lady Gaga has 42 million fans on Facebook.
Yeah.
But Jesus has 49 million.
Oh, wow.
Fans.
Now, help me to understand this, because how does Jesus have a Facebook page?
Well, it's Daily Jesus.
Kind of done.
It's Jesus Daily.
Automatically.
No. The name of the page is Jesus Daily.
Okay, so and somebody does this.
Yeah,
other than Jesus.
Okay, now it's got a picture of Jesus on there. But yeah. It's one of those pictures of Jesus.
The old Sunday school pictures.
Yeah, that it's like, who is attracted to this, because Jesus was so attractive. You know, people would come from miles around when they heard he was speaking. I mean, he was a star. There's no question when he was on the face of the earth, he was a star.
There is an accurate picture of Jesus today.
I know that. I heard that. From the Shroud?
No.
What?
There's this young man, the book that's out now, it's been on the bestsellers list, Heaven is for Real. He didn't draw a picture, but another young girl who went to heaven and survived and came back was an artist. She was about 8 years old and drew a picture of Jesus. They showed the young boy all these pictures of Jesus. Yeah. No, that's not him. They showed him that picture, and he said, "That's him." That's
serious?
Him. Serious.
Wow.
It's in the book.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I believe it.
I wish maybe we can Google picture of Jesus or something like that and be able to see it here at the break. That'd be cool. Anyway, I thought what they did was that they thought the Shroud of Turin was the real thing, and somebody took the impression that was on the Shroud of Turin and through
3D imaging and all that.
An abacus. Yeah. They were a Chinese abacus. They were able to create.
Where did that come from?
Because it's the opposite of high technology. Anyway, they were able to create a photograph that would represent whoever it is under the Shroud of Turin. And so that's what I thought you were referring to.
No, because there's a lot of question about the age of the Shroud, And the Shroud, they think the Shroud goes back to the 10th or 11th century.
Yeah, so it's a fake.
Well, it's a fake in what they're claiming it to be.
Could be a distant relative. Could have some facsimile
looking
there.
And the dating could be wrong.
It was somebody.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, it's a picture of a really old guy that died, and they put this thing over him, whoever it is. All right, well, maybe we can pull up the picture you're talking about. Surely, if it's a real picture.
I think it's in that book, yeah. I know it's in the book because I've got the book.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We're on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, you name it. We do it right here. We'll be back after this. Dr. Dave, Milan, Steve, the men.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hi. We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop. And Mylon, I'm sorry, but I'm kind of questioning your faith because, you know, you go, how does Jesus have a Facebook page? Hey, if Jesus wants a Facebook page, buddy, he'll get it done.
Yeah. All anyway, things are possible.
He knows how to get her done.
All right. Let's go over here to Wayne from Spokane, Washington. NRB is the station that he watches the program on. Hello, Wayne. How are you? On television, yeah. Wayne.
I'm good, good.
Well, how could we help you today?
Well, I appreciate your show, and I had a question to ask.
Could I ask you one first?
What's that?
Can I ask you a question first?
Sure.
We have a statue that was donated to our ministry of John Wayne, and we're looking for someone to buy it to give the money to the ministry. Is there any relation to John from you?
A lot of people tell me that.
Really?
No.
Well, if you guys want a family statue, we've got one here in Laguna Beach.
Well, now, wait a minute. I have a Batman outfit I need to sell to somebody that has the name Bruce Wayne, you know? And so are you related to Bruce Wayne?
Wayne's his first name, not his last name.
Maybe we need to put the Batman outfit on John Wayne. And anyway.
There you go.
All right.
I thought I'd better give up that macho attitude.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
All right, so anyway, all right, you go ahead.
Enough
there.
Now. What's your question?
Yeah.
Okay, my question. Let me keep it simple. Me and my wife are separated for about a week now, and we're both in our late 50s, and we've had both multiple marriages. And so I wanted to protect myself financially, so we started out our marriage with a prenup.
Mm-hmm.
And now, for the last couple of years, she's got resentful of that prenup and wants to change our agreement. And we've run into a collision course where we can't communicate because she's got the resentments there.
Yeah.
And I told her I'm open-minded to talk about it, but I still want to protect myself.
Okay, so the question then is what?
Is, I don't see anything wrong with the prenup.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was what we agreed on in the beginning, and I was asking your opinion on that.
How long have you been married, Wayne?
4 years.
4 years to her?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to save my comments to the end because I have a real biased opinion about this. So you guys give your objective opinion.
Well, that means I got to go now.
Yeah, you got to go.
Okay. Is she angry or what is she feeling toward you, Wayne?
Well, she's hurt and angry, you know, resentful.
And what practical impact is that having on your marriage? She doesn't talk to you.
She moved out.
She moved out?
She moved out a week ago.
Okay. So, well, thought number one is, well, now we understand, you know, that, you know, maybe there was a degree to which she wasn't trustworthy or you didn't know her well or she didn't know you or whatever you want to say about that. That could make a case for a prenup. But you know what? Basically, she's feeling excluded. And I bet, Wayne, if you were to trace back in her history and find out about separation of people excluding her, people abandoning her, people pushing her away and not allowing her to be a part of the party, I think that would you would find something there. And if you can empathize, if you really want her, my recommendation to you would be to empathize with her, the historical pain that's causing her specific reactivity today. Number two, I would then help her to understand that you could change, because I think we don't want to be like the law of the Medes and Persians and Daniel, where nothing can ever change and people earn trust. And I think if a person earns trust, we can change a prenuptial because we know more about them after 4 years. So I would go back to her motions historically.
Well, I was struck one time when I saw one and it said anti-nuptial. I mean, it was A-N-T-E, but I saw it as A-N-T-I.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because I think it is something that eventually erodes a marital relationship, because there's no sense of oneness. It's a sense of two-ness. And, you know, I think, Wayne, at this point, you're probably thinking, it's a good thing I have it, because she's left. And that kind of works against her desire that things would be different. What I've heard some people do is they begin to phase it out. I guess the only value I see in a prenuptial is protecting assets for my children, not protecting them from me. And because it is so anti what a marriage is supposed to be. Just her point has to be, and the only valid point she can have, I think, is it destroys our sense of oneness, because what it does is emphasize our separateness. And but I think you're in a bind right now, because if she chooses to leave over this, then if I'm you, I'm thinking, I'm glad I got it.
Okay. Well, I'm ready to jump in here because, you know,
be more direct.
Well, I've seen this played out in a couple of situations. And, you know, Mylon, you're talking about her history of someone not giving her everything or excluding her. I bet she has a history of making decisions that she regretted later.
Possible.
And I think this is something that sometimes women will agree to. And then once they're married, they are absolutely infuriated that they had to sign it to get married, and then that they signed it. And so when Mylon says, do you want her, I think you have to ask the question, do you want her, do you want your money, or half your money, or whatever. I don't think that if there is a divorce, since you earned your money before you married her, I do think legally that she's not entitled to much of it. So why essentially say, I want you to sign an agreement that's going to make this feel like to you, a woman, that we're not totally married? Well, just don't marry.
It's like negotiating a divorce before you get married.
It is. Mm-hmm. So well, see, I say just don't look at the laws. You'll probably find out that your fortune is not in jeopardy. If you marry somebody and stay married for 20 years, they're entitled to part of that fortune. But you guys got your money before her, and if you got it while you're with her, then perhaps she's entitled to some of that. I think you need to tear it up, and you need to tell her you made a mistake and you want to win her heart back and ask her to come home. That's my biased opinion, so there's no objectivity in this whatsoever.
Well, but I'm thinking, you know, she left, and that's not celebrating oneness either. So I think you've got to, I would say you got to get with a counselor, not a lawyer, but a counselor, and renegotiate the whole thing. And maybe at this point in time, what you do is you phase the prenup out over a period of time. But you also check, as Steve says, you check the laws and see what she really is entitled to.
Now, Wayne said, we both had multiple marriages. So you got to understand, these are a couple of 50-year-olds that have been traumatized by relationships in the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's been perhaps unfaithfulness on everybody's part or some people's parts. They've been felt betrayed. You know, Paul McCartney, when he got married after his wife passed away, he said, you know, love, no prenuptials, because love works past prenuptials. And then all of a sudden found out that he married a lady who really was not
a vacillator.
The person, not a person he thought she was.
Yeah, right.
And it was quite a discussion afterwards, mm-hmm. you know, whether he should have done that or not. And I get the spirit of who wants to have one, but yet you're talking about, practically speaking, two people here
and if
that
you
are
look,
traumatized yeah. by a relationship.
If you look at the money that she received versus the fortune of Paul McCartney, you can see, because they were married a short length of time, she did get some finances, but she didn't get much in comparison.
I don't know what the laws are in Washington, where this gentleman lives. In California, I believe it's from the date you get married, everything is joint.
Right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, what do you think about our thoughts here?
We're all over the place, Wayne. Our
unbiased opinion and biased opinion. What do you think you ought to do?
Oh, what do I think? I was thinking on a mediator, a marriage counselor. I was thinking along those lines.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
You get communications broke down.
Mm-hmm. But the reason the communication is broken down is because of emotional reactivity inside,
that's
tied to the history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, why do people react, and why do they have these feelings? And I don't know what your previous relationships netted you or showed the kind of person you are, but it sounds like you are a very high-functioning individual, and I don't hear a lot of emotional empathy inside. You want to know what the facts are and what to do, as opposed to really what's going on in your heart. And that's the side I would emphasize, Wayne.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to send you my new book, Walking Into Walls. I hope that you like it, because the first wall is stubborn resistance, and the second wall is arrogant entitlement. And boy, when those come up against each other, they create the third wall of justifiable resentment. So I'm sending that to you, and I'm going to Alba in Indianapolis, Indiana. She listens to our Home Away From Home, WQME. Hello, Alba.
Hi there. How are you?
Great. What's going on with you?
I tuned in the middle of the program, so I'm not quite sure. I just heard a comment that kind of caught my attention. One of you gentlemen said that Jesus was like a star.
Yes.
That he was attractive.
Yes.
And my understanding is that no, he really was not. He was an average person. And God picked him that way so that people wouldn't follow him because he looked like a movie star or anything like that, but because of what he was teaching.
Mm-hmm. I was making the comment that he was a star because he would show up to preach somewhere, and the hillside would be full of people, literally thousands of people coming out to hear him speak. And this was before Twitter, flash mobs, Facebook, and all of that. People heard that he was somewhere, and he would gather a crowd. You know, I mentioned in Mark 2, where they took the guy that was paralyzed, and they couldn't get him in the house. There were so many people that had heard Jesus was there teaching that they had to lower him down through the roof. So I'm not saying he was a beautiful, handsome, gorgeous movie star, Cary Grant-looking guy. I was just saying he's a star.
Dave has a verse in Isaiah he's going to read to you.
Well, I think you're right, Alba. In Isaiah 53, when it describes Jesus, he says, "There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with bitterest grief." But, you know, that's in his appearance. But in terms of his teaching and his miracles,
he was
certainly
a very attractive.
You know, you get 5,000 people sitting on a hillside to listen.
Yeah, something's going on there that is attracting people. And I think it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but it wasn't his looks. I think you're right, Ella. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make sure I had understood that right.
Yes.
I think he was an average guy. But something tells me that this average man, when he was speaking God's truth,
well,
he lit up. You know what I mean? That there was...
In John 2, when he cleanses the temple, the temple guards come to him, and kind of like they tap in and say, could you tell us by what authority you just did that? You know, I'm always struck by their hesitancy in approaching
him. Why would they
him
be hesitant? Yeah.
Because there was something powerful in the way he spoke,
yeah,
and that was what drew people to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Alba.
Yes, thanks for helping us clarify his attractiveness.
For keeping us on track.
I still don't think these pictures are represented, but we're going to see what the real picture is.
We're trying to get that.
We'll put it up on the website when we get it, what has been termed as maybe an accurate picture of Jesus drawn by a little girl and recognized by another little boy, both of whom say they've been to heaven and seen who Jesus is. Absolutely possible. 100%.
Well, you read that
positive
story, Heaven is for Real, and it is convincing.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll be back
Stephen
after this.
Just saw Jesus before he died.
That's true.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Mylon Yurkovich, and yep, we are all over the place here today. We're in the studio two more hours today, but our next hour, we're going to record a special program on the topic of anger. So if anything that we've said today has upset you, call us in the next hour, and it'll be a great time for us to deal with anger calls as a focus of our ministry there. Anger next hour.
And hopefully we won't get angry
no
with those calls.
Also, Every Man's Battle starts in Cincinnati in 2 days, and it's not too late to get involved there. And Women in the Battle is coming up September the 23rd, first time we've ever done this. We've done it in San Jose, California. Now, 90% of the participants live in California that are coming to that already. And I'm sitting here going, somebody, if they're all from California, somebody's saying that the price of an airfare is going to keep me out of healing. It just doesn't make sense. So you're still in that window, the two-week travel window, where you get the better price on tickets. Please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. This is Women in the Battle. This is for the woman whose husband, boyfriend, son, grandfather, ancestor, former president of the United States, if they've been involved with a sexual integrity issue, this is for you.
And they're wounded by it.
Absolutely.
And San Jose is a major hub, so it's not hard to get to.
That's right. Let's go to Mary from Jefferson City, Missouri. Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm fine. I have a decision I need some help making.
Okay.
My husband passed away the end of May.
Sorry.
And after that, about a month ago, I received a letter from someone he did business with about 15 years ago or more.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we had filed bankruptcy. And this man is asking for money. And I kind of, in some ways, feel like he's trying to take advantage of me.
Mm-hmm.
But then my soft spot, you know, gets in the way, and I don't know what to do.
How much money is he asking for?
He doesn't have an amount. He just says, whatever I see fit.
Mm-hmm.
He would greatly appreciate it.
Well, Mary, I don't know what documents he's presented to you to back up his claim, is he?
Well, he just wrote a letter stating he's fallen on hard times and that he extended credit to my late husband, and now he would like me to pay that money back. And we filed bankruptcy against his business like over 15 years ago.
Okay.
When my husband was in business.
Well, I'm thinking that this could be an instance where the Bible says, you know, how can you have money and then there's someone in need and you don't meet that need? And here it's even more connected that maybe she would decide to give him some money, but
not out
of a legal obligation.
No, I don't think there's a legal obligation. It sounds like what you're saying is that whatever was owed to him was canceled by the bankruptcy. Some people feel very strongly that if they are able, they make things right with some people from a bankruptcy. And I would say, you know, that you ought to consider that possibility. Depends on how you are, you know, how your status is financially. Do you have children that you can talk to about this, or?
I do. Mm-hmm. Yes, but
I would want you to do it because it was something that was a principle. It was something that you said this is the right thing to do. I wouldn't want you to do it because you feel sorry for the man. You know, and make it an emotional decision. I think it needs to be a decision that you make based on a principle of what you believe to be the right thing to do.
Right.
And base it on that. Need counselors to help you with that. You'd maybe need a lawyer, or you need your son or somebody.
What you're saying is, and there's a really good case to be made for this, that if you owed somebody $100 and you filed bankruptcy and the judge said, you, from the money that you have available, you can only give this guy $5 or 5 cents on the dollar. And so you get through, you get your bills taken care of, and you're able to live again. And you're above water now. You don't have debt that's overwhelming you. But a lot of people would say, now go back and try to repay the other 95 cents.
If you're able to do it.
Don't go off, be successful in another business, and forget that there were some debts that were incurred that never got paid back that allowed you to get to that that better area. Yeah. And I think that's really a great principle.
So this is a blend between balancing between legal and ethical.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think it's more ethical than legal.
And that's what you're saying. Yeah. Although I agree with you, Dave, what substantiation does this gentleman have to prove the amount of credit that was, you know, the amount of money? What documents does he have to show you the amount of money? That's an important question.
But then that gets into the legal part.
Well, so there is this legal, but I do think I agree with you guys.
That up.
I agree with you. What a law could do isn't necessarily the spirit of what God is calling us to do.
I would be supporting the husband.
And the Bible says, owe nothing to anybody except to love them. Yeah. So there's this concept of paying back people.
You support the husband by saying, you know, if we owed this to you, he would have taken care of it before he died. I really believe that. But out of the principle, here's what I can do now to help
Yeah, he seems like he's saying whatever you can do. So it's right. not like somebody that's coming out of the woodwork to yeah. take advantage of.
We'll be back after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right. So, Mylon, you're going to go. You've got a workshop that you're doing.
Yes, in the Los Angeles area this Friday night from 7 to 9, and then Saturday from 8:30 to 12:30, Kay and I are going to do a How We Love workshop at Faith Community Church.
Great.
In Covina. And you can find out about that at the New Life website. The information's there.
That church has a big recovery program, too.
They do.
You and I have both spoken at that.
I think the entire recovery team, everybody involved in recovery, is coming on Friday night, plus other people from the public and people that want to come.
It's a great church.
So what do they do if they want to go?
Well, they can contact the church directly, Faith Community Church.
Faith Community Church.
On Vidillo in Covina, California.
In Covina.
That's right. The information should be on the New Life website.
Okay.
And then they could even just show up as well. So it's something they could do. It's our last one of the year.
So you're going to aren't you going to invite people to come to the one in Saudi Arabia?
No, I don't think so.
You're doing that the next month.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think.
But you are being asked to speak all over the world.
We are all over the world these days.
All over the world.
Yeah.
That's how. So you don't have to go to Saudi Arabia to experience this if you're in the Southern California area. But it is worth it to fly here from Bangor, Maine. I mean, whatever it takes, you ought to go to one of these. They're really amazing. Let's talk to Jennifer from Los Angeles. She listens online. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
Well, we're excited to have you on the program.
I can't believe it. My question is that I've been single for 4 years.
Okay.
And two prior marriages. And now that it's time for me to date, but I can't, I am afraid to meet men or afraid to talk to them.
Why?
I get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I start to stammer. I just walk away.
Just walk away.
When the opportunity comes up and, you know, I see somebody showing interest or my friends are trying to set me up with somebody, I feel completely anxious and I walk away.
Now, how did you end up married to these other guys if you've had that problem most of your life?
Well, they were just kind of, I guess, aggressive type of men that, you know, kind of would really pursue me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just went with it, and like they were attractive, and I was young. I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And these turned out to be really bad marriages. And now that I'm older, I'm in my 40s. I'm not looking for that type. I want what I want. I can't even talk to you.
Okay. So what's the question for us then?
So the question is, how can I get over my anxiety of meeting and talking to new men?
Do you have anxiety?
I know.
Jennifer, do you have anxiety about other things?
I do.
Okay. So do you think, is it about situations, people? Is it more generalized kind of an anxiety?
It's speaking to new people and meeting new people.
Mm-hmm. Any other places where the anxiety flares up?
Just speaking and meeting new people.
Okay.
Putting myself out there.
Okay. Did you have any traumas historically of people taking advantage of you, hurting you, harming you?
I did.
Okay. So how old were you when those things happened?
I'd say it started early, maybe when I was 10, 11.
Okay. So the basic trauma, the resulting fear, is something that's been around some period of time. But the idealism of being in the 20s, you forget about it, you see.
Right.
And then you enter into two relationships and they don't do well, and all of a sudden reality hits you, which has on a collision course with ideal. And now you're back down to the basic core issues of your pain. And if you want to know how to get over all this, that's where you need to do work. You have trauma in two places. One is this historical trauma from your early childhood and perhaps adolescence. The other is two broken relationships that have scared you and have subsequently traumatized you as well. So if you want to say, how do I get over this? You need to really grieve the historical hurt, because people tend to do one of two things. We're going to talk about this more at another show. People can oftentimes, when they're hurt, get very angry, you see, and use anger as a means of holding people at bay and their emotions at bay. Or sometimes people can get very scared and they take the fear route in life.
Yeah.
And so those are two common outlets for how we're hurt. Dave, Steve, what do you guys think?
Well, do you ever do group things, Jennifer, with other, you know, other singles your age?
I do somewhat, but I tend to avoid things, and I notice really in the last few years I've really isolated, and I don't even want to go out with my friends or anything.
Okay, see, I think part of what Mylan is wanting you to do, what I would add to what he's suggesting you do, is that you get yourself back out in a group setting where you just enjoy being with people who are single and your age, and begin to build some positive experiences, because that, along with some, any counselor is going to expect you to do that as well. Because you're not going to fix this by isolating, and so you've got to get in some kind of situation where you're with people who can you can relax with,
okay.
and enjoy.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Jennifer, you have something, you have a problem. You
yeah.
know that, right?
I do.
You also know. Okay, now you know that people do get out of this, right? Or do you not know that?
I hope they do. I feel like I don't want to be like this
okay.
forever.
All right. Now here's local. But you're in a double bind because you you don't want to be like this, but the very thing that you have prevents you from venturing out to try to find the solution. The anxiety that you experience with other people is the same anxiety you experience when you think about sitting down and sharing your whole life with a therapist.
Right.
It's scary to you. So what do we do when we don't have it in us to make a healthy decision for ourselves that will eliminate a problem? We have to do this one thing. We have to find this person in our life that we can trust and say, help me get help for this. Do you have somebody like that?
I do. I have a lot of friends, and we talk about a lot of issues.
Okay, then say, look, I don't need to meet another person and be anxious over this other person. I need to get into some help, some really focused, concentrated help on my anxiety problem. I can't seem to get to that help. Would you help me find what I need to find?
Okay.
I mean,
and we do. I just, there's something, we talk a lot about these things, and I think we're all kind of in the same situation.
Okay, but
there's something, I don't know what is.
You
is
have something a little beyond. Yeah, you've got something a little beyond maybe what they have, so, and you need some assistance to get to the help.
So what Steve is saying is you really need a person to hold you accountable to say, I'm going to help you get the help you need.
Right.
And they're going to help you accomplish that.
Right.
There's two other things that are important. One is a lot of times when a person has some sort of a traumatic experience like this, they have a generalized anxiety. And a lot of times, have you ever been on an antidepressant at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Has that helped?
Anytime.
Has that helped?
It did. It helped a lot.
Okay. And are you off that now?
Yeah.
Okay. You may want to consider going back on that if it helped a lot. Because that's what they do. Then the next thing is, and what Dave and Steve are saying, and what the normal counselor is going to do, is they're going to take you through a desensitization process. Anytime a person is traumatized, they go through desensitization. If you're afraid of an elevator, you go up and you don't get in it, you just push the button and watch it go up and down. The next time somebody holds the door open, you walk in, you walk out. You gradually build something. Maybe you sit down with a pastor that you don't know, that's, you know, a safe person that you can experience being in the presence of other people. Like Dave was saying, group mm-hmm. events. And so it's this combination of things. You do not have to be saddled by this.
Right.
You know, crippled by this for the rest
treatable.
Of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, so we've said two things. You don't have to be this way forever, but you're going to have somebody help you get to the help if you're going to change it. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Three guys sitting around talking about Medicare benefits. This is what it's come to, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what I get paid as a Medicare provider.
Doctor. Oh, got it. Yeah.
15% less than 6 months ago.
We missed you on that, dude.
Yeah, we weren't connecting.
We didn't get
there.
Why you were bringing it up.
Yeah, you don't know that I'm on Medicare yet, do you?
No, we don't.
Are you on Medicare?
Sure.
Okay, see? So it's so sad because we assumed if he's talking Medicare, he's talking about his provider
benefits. He's talking old.
And stuff versus what they reimburse. Is there a problem that I need to know about? Okay. Yeah,
is he talking about the picture?
Oh, the picture. We've got the picture of Jesus. Let's show the people that are watching at home. Here it is. And Dave, Mylan and I made a comment and
Mylan
said, well,
made a comment.
Doesn't I was thinking that he doesn't look very Jewish. And Dave says, well, his dad wasn't Jewish. And we're thinking bloodlines and
well, I'm thinking Joseph. I mean, yeah, right. Dave, you got me so bad. He says his father's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he just got me on that. That was, you really, well, yeah, you got me on
but
that.
But Dave, you're saying that
The girl drew
that, and then it was in a stack of pictures that they showed this boy, and he said no to everything. And when they saw this, he said, that's him.
But you know, when I see that, you know what I think of?
What?
Every man.
Yeah.
It's kind of an every man picture, but he definitely is tinged toward the attractive side. I mean, that's a handsome guy.
That's
a very handsome guy right there.
Anyway.
Well, he's in heaven now, so I mean, why wouldn't he be?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
Glorified body.
Boy, Dave, you are really on
the guy. I mean, this is why
you are a theological whiz.
This is why
because I'm closer to it than you are. Man.
I have the people around me that I do
closer to what heaven.
Dave, you got to come on. You got a couple of more years on
I
this
think
earth.
I do, yes,
yeah,
I do.
Come on. All right, maybe we should go to our final caller right now. Let's go over here with Marie, and she's from D.C., WAVA. Hello, Marie. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
You're welcome. How could we help you?
Okay. Well, my husband has sexual integrity issues, and it's leading me to struggle with God, my relationship.
Okay. Tell us how your husband, being a sex addict, causes you to struggle with God.
Well, I guess I'm working on boundaries as well in the marriage, and it's just, my husband, I've been finding out things over the past few years, and he really doesn't want to give me disclosure on much, and he acts like, and he tells me I'm overreacting.
Okay.
And I just don't know what to believe. I think he's been lying to me for years. And
I do, too.
I agree.
Yeah. So how does God enter into this to where he gets the bum rap for your husband's integrity problem?
I'm sorry. I didn't understand that.
Okay, so you've got a problem with God because your husband is unfaithful to you in the area of pornography and this other stuff. How does that cause you to have a problem with God?
Well, I guess I have been angry with him, and I guess I don't see how to put my relationship with God first while I'm trying to work on the marriage. It just doesn't make sense.
Because you have an expectation that God would fix this in your husband?
Well, I don't. I guess not necessarily fix it, but I guess I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm not sure what boundaries I'm supposed to set with my husband. I've told him about every man's battle, and I told him he needs counseling.
All right.
And he thinks because he treats me nicer and he says he has a better understanding of marriage.
Telling him what he needs and versus what he must do are two different things.
Okay.
And you know that God gave your husband free will, right?
Exactly.
So
right.
You can't pray to God, God, take away his free will and force him to get help by taking away his
right.
ability to choose pornography over his wife. See, there's the dilemma.
But she has that power.
But you have the power that you're wanting God to have.
Okay, well...
Make a decision. You need to get him to make a decision. And the bad news is, he may choose mm-hmm. pornography over you. And then again, he may finally come to the end of himself and choose you over the pornography.
Well, okay, it's not just that it's been pornography. There's been emotional affairs, emails to old high school girlfriends.
Okay, so see, he's okay. Then he has discounted wow. you as a human being.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you know, Marie, this.
Oh, I mean, that's it's not an. Is that a news flash to you that he's discounted you as a human being when he's going to strip bars?
Well, he said he's only done it 3 times.
Oh, I've never done it.
I know.
Hey, he's betraying you.
Absolutely.
With
betrayal.
Every one of those things you described, those
yeah.
are betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of minimizing it, and he's convincing you
yes.
by being nice. And what you need
yes.
to be asking God to help you do is to set
uh-huh.
the boundaries that say to him,
yes.
you are betraying me every time you go on that internet or write an email or get involved with somebody emotionally.
And no, I'm not overreacting.
Right.
I am reacting to betrayal on
yes.
the part of my
right.
husband.
Yeah, but see, you guys have
well,
these, Marie... Mm-hmm. Steve and Dave have these nice strong voices here, and they're just
and you don't.
Well, no, Marie doesn't.
No,
you see,
I know Marie doesn't.
Marie is
yeah.
struggling, and I wonder about Marie. Do you have struggles with boundaries elsewhere? Do you have children?
Yes, we do.
And and do you struggle with boundaries with your children and other people and so on?
Yes, I'm pretty sure I do.
Okay, so this is what I want to address for a second. Historically,
okay.
historically, that voice and assertiveness was taken away from you at some point in time, historically.
As a child, yes.
Yes. And that's what you need to work on, because you can tell your husband it's this and this is are the rules and these are the boundaries. But what we're saying is Marie is easy to take advantage of because she's voiceless and she struggles to be assertive, okay? So I think really what you need to work on is to the adult voice and get
okay,
into
yeah.
some therapy in a group where you learn
right.
to be
get
assertive.
Get a group, yes.
Definitely. I'm going to send you walking into walls. I wish we had more time to talk to you. But there is an amazing principle here that she brings out, and that is that we're, once again, asking God to do what we can actually do.
Mm-hmm.
He may be waiting for us to do what we're waiting
and
for
what
him
what she needs to pray
to
is that God will give her a voice.
Right.
And
strength.
Pray that you will have the theological insight that Dave Stoop does, because you have astounded us today, Dave. It's been great.
And I'd recommend for everybody not to quite drink as quite as much coffee as you did today. I mean, because
maybe
you,
not.
You just really been on a
yeah.
you know,
all
run
right.
here.
So we're glad you're with us. If you can help us, would you do it? 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call. Now, we're going to do another program after this, and it's on anger.
Hmm.
And we're all each going to confess what we're angry about with each other. It's going to be a beautiful thing. So come call us right after this if you have an anger issue, especially if you have an anger issue with us. We love those kind of calls. So call us, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be in the studio for 2 more hours, 1-800-229-3000. But we need your help. And, you know, please, if you need the free tips, the 12 steps with their scripture, call us. We'll get those to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And Friday, this coming Friday, we've got a special program on addiction and the 12 steps with our good friend Bill Moss, who began his recovery at 85 years of age after 65 years of drinking. He's an amazing, wise man. Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks, Mylon. And thanks to all of you that support us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, 1-800-229-3000 to join us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.